But we're excited today because we're starting a new series. We're calling this series Deceived. And I believe this is one of those things that we need to talk about because, you know, Jesus talked about this. There's several times we read through his ministry to where he used the phrase, do not be deceived. And then he would go on to have a little teaching behind that. And as I begin to look at that and pray about it, I believe that these are warnings to us because we do have an enemy that is trying to deceive us. And, you know, to deceive somebody, we might need to pay attention on some of these. And so we'll read through some of these scriptures and talk about some of the things. But, you know, talking about deception, you know, we live in a world to where everything is very relative these days. You know, it's like, well, that might be true for you, but that's not true for me. And we live in this society where there's just so much, everything's so relative. And we've got to be careful because God's word is the truth. God's word is the truth, okay? I was pausing for you to say amen there. Because that's what we believe as Christians is that this is God's word. This came from God, and this is the truth, and this is what we need to live on. And so we need to be careful not to be deceived by things when they come against God's word. Because as we look in society today, there's a very big push against God's word because people don't like to be told that they're not right. Have you ever noticed that? And you don't like to be told you're wrong, do you? I don't like to be told that I'm wrong. And so so a lot of what we read in the Bible flies in the face of the world's culture today. And we can see it, we can see this on Facebook, okay? Anytime I get a friend request, I like to go check this person out to make sure that I actually know them. You know, they're not trying to steal my identity or something like that, you know, or whatever. I don't want to get spam and all that stuff. And so I'll go check out their profile. And lots of times I'll see their profile picture. I'm like, I don't know this person. And then I go and I start looking at the pictures and people they know. It's like, oh, I do know that person. Because we become master at deceiving people with Facebook profile pictures, all right? And so people have perfected the selfie to where, I mean, it's just like the perfect angle, perfect lighting, and it makes them look in a way they don't normally look every day, okay? And so, you know, we know what this is. And so, I try to research people before I become friends with them if they send me a request, because that profile picture doesn't always perfectly depict what they look like. Anyway, I'm going to move on past that one. I dwelt a little too long there, didn't I? Okay. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul says, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. See, I believe that we need to be careful in our Christian walk that somehow our pure and undivided devotion to Christ doesn't get corrupted. And that's what this series is about, is exposing some of the deceptions that the enemy brings against us. Because it's not usually the full-on lie that we believe, but it's these half-truths that sometimes that we get fed that we begin to believe. And it begins to slowly change some of our beliefs, and it gets us off into where we're no longer effective for the gospel anymore. And so we're going to look at some scripture and some different stories about how Satan has done that before. And each week we're going to talk about how deception makes us question something about God. And see, that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to question God. He wants us to question His Word. And he wants to make us think a little bit differently about God that's in a way that is not true. And so what we're going to do is, today we're going to talk about the first deception in the Bible. Does anybody know what that is? See, a lot of people think it was in the garden with Eve, but it was not. That's not the first deception that we read about in the Bible. And so we're going to talk about Lucifer today, the fallen angel. And so we're going to be focusing on a lot of the things that the devil... I'm not going to try to glorify the devil in this series, okay? And I feel like sometimes we do that, like we begin to talk about the enemy and the devil and how awful he is, and we almost build him up sometimes. And I don't want to do that in this series because the devil doesn't deserve any glory or any recognition. But we do need to expose the things that he brings against us sometimes. And so, but we read this in John chapter 8, verse 44. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and of course, you know Jesus, he was hard on them. And this is one of those times that was just like, it stings. He said, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." See, anytime we see the devil in Scripture or you know, sometimes when he comes against us, never believe anything if it goes against God's Word, because he is the father of lies. And so, let's look at the story of Lucifer this week and see what happened with him and what started this whole thing. And does anybody know what Lucifer's deception was? He wanted more power. Selfishness. It's pride. Pride was his downfall. And so that's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about Lucifer is pride. See, in Obadiah 1, some of y'all might be thinking, pride, deception, how does this go? Obadiah 1:3. How many of y'all read Obadiah lately? How many of y'all could find it in the Bible right now in the next 3 seconds? Like, that's one of those, like, Obadiah, is that really? Did you just make that one up? It's in the Bible. Okay, anyway. Obadiah 1. It says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you." It says, "You live in the clefts of the rocks, and you make your home in the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like an eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down." And so we see in the Scripture that the pride of our heart actually deceives us. Pride is very deceptive, and so we're going to look into the story of Lucifer and see what this happens. Why is sin? Why is pride a sin? You know, it's part of the seven deadly sins that you know that we can see in Scripture and that the Catholic Church talks about. But why is pride a sin? You know, haven't you ever been told to take pride in your work? Is that wrong to take pride in your work? Why is pride a sin? Pride is a sin because it's all about me. Pride is very selfish. Pride focuses on me and who I am and what I am doing, and it's about me. See, the pastor just finished a series called Circles, and the whole point of Circles was that you've got to have Christ at the center of everything that you do. That circle that you have with God needs to be number one, and he needs to be the center of that circle. See, when we get into pride, we take God out of the center of that circle, and we put ourselves in the middle of that circle. And that's why pride is a sin, is because it becomes about me instead of about God. And so, here's what pride does. Pride makes us question God's lordship in our lives. That is our questioning of the week, is pride makes us question God's lordship in our lives. Because either God's Lord or I am Lord of my life. We don't share that spot. It's either about him or it's about me. And what we choose determines that. See, in Proverbs 16:18, it says, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share the plunder of the proud." See, pride never takes you to where you want to go. It always leads to destruction. Every single time. So let's look at the story of Lucifer. And as we get into this, I just want to acknowledge this, that as we look into this, we're going to be looking into Ezekiel and Isaiah about some prophecies. And what it is these prophets are directing words of the Lord to specific kings. And there's some theologians out there, people that are way smarter than me, that say that, you know, no, he's just talking to this king and it has nothing to do with Lucifer. And there's some theologians out there say, no, it's symbolism and he's talking to this king, but he's also talking about Lucifer, and I don't understand all that stuff. But as we read Scripture and as I look through it, I believe that it's talking about Lucifer. And in fact, one of them actually says Lucifer in the Scripture. So to me, you know, I'm not smart, but if it says his name in there, I think it's about him, right? I don't know. Maybe I'm just not smart enough. But anyway, as we look into this, the Bible's full of symbolism and all of those things. And so the way I believe it is, yes, the prophet was talking to this specific king, but he was also talking to the spirit that's behind that king, which was the deceiver, which was Satan. So anyway, let's dive into this. Ezekiel chapter 18. So then the word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, take up a lament concerning the king of Tyre and say to him, this is what the sovereign Lord says. You are the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You are in Eden, the garden of God, and every precious stone adorned you. Now let me ask you a question. Was this king in the Garden of Eden? No. Okay. Just asking a question. And so I believe this is talking about Satan. So here the first thing that we see is that the Bible describes Lucifer as perfect in beauty, full of wisdom, and the seal of perfection. All right? This is the first description that we see of Lucifer when he was in heaven. It says, your settings and mountings were made of gold, and on the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were anointed as a guardian cherubim, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, guardian cherubim, from among the fiery stones. Listen to this. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth and a spectacle of you before kings. All right, so his observations from here is that Lucifer was a guardian cherubim, and that he was perfect in beauty, he was full of wisdom, and he was the seal of perfection. He was something in heaven, okay? He was a somebody there. And it was because he became proud because of his beauty, and it corrupted his wisdom. See, he thought more of himself than he actually was. As we look in Isaiah chapter 14, we see a little bit more into this. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. If you look up that word morning star in the original language, it actually says Lucifer right there. And so it's talking directly to about him. It says, how you have fallen from heaven, Lucifer, son of the dawn. For you have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, listen to this, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly, on the utmost heights of Mount Zephon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds, and I will make myself like the Most High. Some pretty strong words there, isn't it? See, what happens when we get prideful is that we begin to believe some self, or we're deceived into believing things that are not true. See, pride pushes us above what we actually are. Okay? And I mean, we know people who are prideful, and like, everything they do is right, and everything you do is wrong. And I mean, we know these kind of people. And this is what he was thinking. Because of his beauty, because of his wisdom and all of this stuff, he's at some point in Lucifer's existence in heaven. Now, I can't imagine this. I mean, he's been in the presence of God. He's seen God in all of his glory and all of his majesty and in all of his awe. Lucifer has seen God, and he had this thought, hey, I think I can overthrow God. Now, why would anybody ever think that? See, it's deception. It was the deception of pride in his life that somehow he thought that he could actually overthrow God and take his spot. And see, I mean, this is like an extreme version of pride, I think. But in this, this is what he thought. Verse 15, but you are brought down to the realm of the dead and to the depths of the pit. See, pride makes you think that you're better than you actually are. That's what pride does. And a lot of times when we're successful in life, when things are going like we want them to do, and even as Christians, lots of times we like to say that, hey, I did this. Look at what I'm doing. I'm making something of myself. Well, one thing that I've learned about myself is that I'm a failure within myself. I've tried lots of things and I've failed lots of things. But it's not until I connect with God and I submit myself to God and His plan for my life, that's when I become a success. That's when God makes something of me. And so, if we're not careful, we can become prideful in who God has made us to be. And that's the deception of a lot of Christians, is that they think they're somebody because of something that they did instead of something that God made them to be. And so we have to be very careful that, because pride makes us think that we are better than what we actually are. So how do we know if we have a pride problem or not? Now, there's some of you sitting there thinking, you're throwing this around, do I have a pride problem? I mean, I do. Let me ask you some questions, okay? Just kind of a litmus test of possibly if we have a pride problem. Number one, do you think that you are better than other people? I mean, your first response is like, no, I don't think I'm better than other people. But do you look down on people that don't drive as good as car as you? Or maybe who's someone who is struggling financially. Do you feel that you're better than those people? Do you think that you're better than people because they're a different race than you? Or maybe they live in a different culture than you that's not quite as successful. Do you look down on people when you're at McDonald's and someone's kid's throwing a fit across the room and you're thinking, man, I wish they'd shut that kid up? And then 5 minutes later, your kid's doing the same thing. Do you think you're better than other people? I mean, we don't like, I'm better than people. But, you know, there's times that we have those prejudices in our hearts that come out randomly that we feel like we're superior to someone because of, you know, I'm further along. See, I know some Christians that think they're better than people than new believers because they've been doing it longer. Well, I'm more holy than they are. Or I would never do that. You better watch out. Pride goes before destruction. See, we should never get to the place to where we're looking down on somebody because of something that's happened in our lives that we're further along in the journey than somebody else. See, we're not to look down on people. We're supposed to help other people out. And that's where pride gets us, is that we look down on somebody like, well, I can't believe they're still struggling with addiction. I mean, come on, people. Christ redeemed you already, right? You better watch out. You got to be careful not to get into pride. Do you think that you're better than other people? Number two, do you see your success as something that you have accomplished? Do you see that your success is something that you have accomplished? Like I said earlier, the only reason that I'm successful in any way is because of what Christ has done for me in my life and what He's doing through me. It's not because of I'm just that good. You know, I'm just awesome, you know? No. If I ever begin to think that I'm awesome, someone just come slap me, okay? I mean, really. Because anything that I accomplish in my life is not because of me, but it's because of Christ. And that's how we put Christ at the forefront of our lives, is that we're always giving Him glory for what happens in our life. Of the good things that happen, the good things that's produced out of my life, is because of His glory, because He gave me a brain to think. He gave me the ability to move around and do things, and He's given me these abilities. Without that, I am nothing. And so we have to be careful not to get prideful in our own success and our own accomplishments. Do you have to prove that you're better, smarter, faster, more accomplished than other people? See, I think this might be more of a guy issue than anything else, but we always feel like we need to one-up somebody, right? You know, someone tells a story, oh, you hadn't heard anything yet. Listen to this. You know what I'm saying? It's like someone caught a 6-pound bass. Well, I caught a 6.5-pound bass. We always feel like we need to one-up somebody, you know? You think your day was bad? Listen to this, you know? And we got to be careful that we don't always have to prove that we're better or our lives are better or our lives are worse or whatever than somebody else's. That's a pride issue. We've got to be careful that we're not centering life on us, that we keep the center of our life on Christ. All right, so how do we fight against pride? If pride really is an issue, if it's really a sin, how do we fight against this? How do we overcome this? What is the opposite of pride? Does anybody know? Humility. Humility. And in our society today, humility is not looked on as a favorable thing. You know, a lot of times when you say humility, people think humiliation, right? I just need to grovel and I'm just an awful person. And I've heard Christians, oh, I'm just a worm. I'm just a horrible human being. I'm just dirt and I don't deserve God. And I don't, you know, that's not humility. That's just putting yourself down, okay? And that's not helping anybody, all right? Humility is just placing others above yourself, okay? It's not making you become lower than dirt, right? Because we do need to step into who God made us to be. We do need to find out who God made us to be, that I am victorious, that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. You know, and those scriptures that tell us that who we are because of Christ in our life, and that we need to stand firm on those things and live those out. Don't try to make yourself worse than God made you to be. But in the same time, you don't need to get pride. I'm victorious. Nobody can beat me. And it becomes a pride thing. All of a sudden, it's about me. But in humility, if you know who God made you to be, humility is easy. Because we don't ever want to make ourselves look less than anybody else. That's our sinful nature in us. We don't want, you know, to feel less than somebody else. But when you humble yourself, you're not pushing yourself down. You're pushing someone else up. And that's what humility is in that. Let's read some verse. Let's read some scriptures. Proverbs, 1 Peter 5:5. It says, in the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of your elders. Let's stop right here and talk for a second. You younger men must accept the authority of elders. See, we have an authority issue in our society today. People don't like to be told what to do. Well, you can't tell me what to do. I do what I want to do. Listen, if we're not willing to submit to men, if we're not willing to submit to other people, then we're never going to grow. We're never going to get better. Let me tell you something. There's a generation that's gone before us. They've experienced a lot of things. They have wisdom. Hey, let's have a little humility and let's listen to our elders. Because there's a lot of wisdom out there. There's a lot of things that we can learn from them that will save us a lot in life. Well, I don't like it when people tell me what to do. Well, you have authority issues and you have a pride issue. Okay? We need to learn to submit to our elders. We need to put ourselves under that authority and learn and be able to grow from that. See, our society is in a very horrible place right now. If you just look at politics right now, I mean, there's no submission and there's none of that going on and it's not helping anything, is it? Now, I don't agree with everything that happens in politics and all that stuff, but there is a biblical principle to where we are to submit to authority. And sometimes we need to submit and do what we're told and let God sort it out. Okay? If you try to take it in your own hands, you're going to mess it up even more. Okay? All right, let's move on. That was a tough one. And all of you, serve each other in humility, For God opposes the proud and favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of, under the mighty power of God, and at the right time He will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about you. See, the reason that we have authority issues in our society today is because people are not submitted to God. If you can't submit to God, then you won't submit to man. See, it's through the submission to God and humbling ourselves in that situation. See, there's a lot of Christians out there that refuse to submit to God and His will for their life. And that's a pride issue. We don't say this, but basically we're saying, God, my plan is better than yours, and so I'm going to do what I want to do, not what you want me to do. And if we fail to submit to God, then we're never going to get to the place to where we could submit to men. And that's why we have such an authority issue, is because we don't accept the authority of Jesus Christ in our life. We don't accept the authority of God's Word in our life. See, we've got to know that this is truth, and that I need to submit to truth. Because if you don't have truth in your heart, then you'll always be deceived, because you'll never recognize the lie. And next week we're going to talk about Eve and the deception, and that he got Eve to question God's word. And the problem was, is he didn't just straight up lie to Eve, but he gave a little truth and he twisted it. And a lot of what Christians believe today is twisted truth, and it's wrong, and we've got to be careful. And so, but pride, if we're unwilling to submit to the authority of God's word, or unwilling to submit to the authority of God in our life, then we're going to live in pride and we're going to live deceived in our life. Okay, we're moving on. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. That's good. Proverbs 29:23. Pride ends with humiliation, while humility brings honor. Do you want humiliation, or do you want humility in your life? Those are your two options. Either you're going to humble yourself, or life's going to humble you. Pride goes before destruction. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. Pride ends in humiliation. It's our choice. If you are unwilling to submit, then your life will end in humiliation and disgrace. And I know none of us want that. This is why pride is such a big issue, and that's why we're talking about it. This was the thing that took Lucifer down, took him from heaven into being the devil, was pride. All right, so how do we combat pride? What can we do to fight against pride? Number one, I believe that we need to pray. So simple, right? Such a simple solution. Let's pray this prayer. We find in Psalm 139, David, the man after God's own heart, prayed this prayer. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life." Has anybody ever prayed that prayer? Let me tell you something. God answers that prayer every single time. If you ask Him to search your heart and show me, God, show me anything that offends you, let me tell you something. He's answering that prayer. Every time I prayed that prayer, He's pointed out something in my life that is offensive to Him. And see, at that point, I need to submit to Him and repent. Prayer. See, there's something about prayer that humbles us. Because when I go to God in prayer and I'm asking Him, God, help me, that's only done out of a heart of humility. How many people do you know that will never ask for help? It's like the man that's lost and he just refuses to stop and ask for directions, right? I'm glad there's Google Maps now. I no longer have to stop and ask for directions, okay? Google Maps has helped me in life on that. But, you know, it's the same thing. You know, there's times in life where you need help, but you're too prideful to stop and ask. We need to stop and ask God for help in life. Not just say, God, help me in this situation, but God, help me in life because I need you. Okay? Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. You know what happens when you pray that prayer? It comes to the second way that we fight against pride is through submission. And we've talked about this already, through submission. James 4:6, it says, but he gives us more grace. And that's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That wasn't on purpose. I didn't mean to put that in there twice, but that's just the way God works. God opposes the proud and gives favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, there's some of you here today that feels like you feel like the devil's after you. That he is on your heels and he's trying to take you out. Resist the devil. Well, I have been resisting the devil and nothing's happening. Well, maybe you need to go back in the earlier part of this verse. Submit yourselves then to God. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, the devil's not scared of you. But he's scared of the name of Jesus. Where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When we use the name of Jesus, that name has power in it, and the devil runs from that. He's not scared of me. But let me tell you something. When I step in the and start beginning to use the name of Jesus, and I'm submitted to him, that's when he runs. That's when he runs from you. But it's in submission to God to where that happens. Ephesians 5:21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, in order to fight against pride, not only do we need to submit to God, but we need to submit to one another as well. And this is a tough one. This is a tough one. Submitting to one another? You mean I'm supposed to submit myself to you? Why would I do that? Let me tell you something. God put together the body of Christ, which is the church. He's put it together just like he wanted it. God's smart. He's a lot smarter than I am. And so what he did, and you know, the Bible talks about this, Paul talks about this, is that every part works together. Not everybody's supposed to be an eye. If we were all eyes, we would see everything but couldn't do anything, right? We're not all hands in that we just do stuff but not able to hear or see. But see, God placed the body of Christ together perfectly because we all need each other. And this is what this mutual submission is talking about, is that I have something to offer that you need, and you have something to offer that I need. And as we come together and work together in submission to each other, then things work out, because that's God's plan. Nobody was meant to be on an island by themselves. Nobody was meant to live life by themselves. See, you may be out there facing depression today. You may be having suicidal thoughts today. Are you submitted to anybody? Are you in a group of Christians that can help you walk through life? Because let me tell you something, if you stay alone, that's where you're going to be. You'll always be alone. I love that last Sunday, our ladies came together Sunday night, had a prayer and praise service. I wanted to be here so bad. I really did. And then Ashley started posting videos on Facebook, and I was like, I really want to be there because it looked like such an awesome night. And what that was, it was our ladies coming together and submitting to God and worshiping Him. And begin to pray for each other and pray together and submitting to one another in Christ. And I believe that God made some connections last Sunday night and some things happened. Because that's what happens when we come together in submission to God and submission to each other, is that God can begin to work in our lives and begin to do some things. Let me tell you something, if you skip last Sunday night, then you miss something. But there's going to be other opportunities to get involved. Get involved in life groups. Get involved in Bible studies. Get involved in other Christians' lives. Because it's when we're working together, that's when things happen. See, if we're in pride, then we say we don't need anybody. I can do this thing on my own. No, you can't. No, you can't. You cannot do this thing on your own. So to wrap up today, the deception of pride is huge. No, we lots of times we don't think pride's that big a deal. Yeah, it is. Because pride makes you believe. It makes you question the lordship of God in your life. Because you put yourself on the throne instead of putting God on the throne. And so let's step back today. Pray that prayer. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Search me, O God, know my anxious thought. Point out to me anything that offends you. And when He shows that to you, humble yourself, repent, say, God, help me do this. God, help me do this. You know what happens when you do that? You put God on the throne again in your life, and He begins to work in you again. Amen. Father, thank you today. God, thank you that you're such a gracious God. God, that you've done what it takes to take away our sin, to take away our pride, to take away any obstacle that stands between you and me. God, help me not to be prideful, thinking that I've done anything in this life. It's only because of you that anything's accomplished through me. God, I humble myself before you today. God, I pray that the people here today, God, help them to take a look in their lives. God, and to step away from pride and put you back on the throne of their hearts. God, we thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. We're going to worship one more time. Prayer team, come forward. If you need prayer today, if you need to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, if you want to put Him on the throne of your life today, saying, I can't do this anymore, they're here to pray with you. If you need prayer for any reason today, come ahead. Let's worship.